I'm thrilled to be backstage with our maestro, Stefan Denev.
Good afternoon. Always nice to speak with you.
It is so great to be with you and speak with you about this intriguing program that you've based on three Nordic composers from three very different eras. But do you find a common musical language among the three?
It's very interesting indeed to know what is actually in the music that makes us believe of the landscapes of the composer's own country. In this case, it's quite strange because the Salonen piece and the Sibelius piece have been composed actually not in Finland, but under the sun of Italy for Sibelius and the sun of California for Salonen. So they definitely have anyway some other influences, but at the same time, I have to say that there is something distinctive Scandinavian, which is maybe a certain sense of horizontality, and you can of course see it as a big horizon. But yes, there is something indeed in common which is Scandinavian.
You're about to step on stage to conduct Sibelius's epic Second Symphony. What's the key in holding together this sweeping work?
It's a big challenge because this piece is extremely well structured. It's interesting that Mahler met Sibelius. They had a conversation and they agreed to disagree because they had two so different conceptions of what a symphony should be. For Mahler, it was the world. It should contain everything, should be a planet in itself, and expressing really the full humanity and the full nature, etc. For Sibelius, it was actually, in a Beethoven way, to build a cathedral just with sound and to actually really make the structure linked to the pure music aspect. So like Brahms, like Beethoven, the music of Sibelius is extremely well constructed, and I really try to have one line, if I may say, and to really build a cathedral with this music and try to connect the movement together, for instance, even if the second movement, I think, is quite different from the three others, because this one looks more like a tone poem, and indeed, it was inspired by the myth of Don Juan, of Don Giovanni, and has a little bit of narrativity in it. So the second movement for me is the more operatic, dramatic one, while I try in the first, third, and fourth to really be building a structure like I would do in Brahms or Beethoven.
Tell me what it's like to conduct the finale of Sibelius's Second Symphony.
You know, sometimes you feel that music can be almost political. What I mean with that is there is a feeling for me of resistance in the third movement, a feeling that we could resist against adversity and have hope and build a better future with this hope. And it's strange because when Sibelius composed this symphony, it was not supposed to be a nationalistic symphony for Finland, but it became almost against him, if I may say, because people captured the power of this last movement. It seems that it's really building this incredible feeling that the world could be better. And finally, towards the very end, the three notes, you know, these famous three notes that are repeated so many times, suddenly become four, and you hear at the very end, ta-di-da-di, this amazing G, and when that arrives, I really feel that it's like a sunrise, that suddenly we feel, yes, we can do it, yes, we will win, yes, there will be a better world, and I'm very moved, sometimes almost to tears, because I really feel that at that moment, we all together and we can dream for a better world. This is very powerful.
Oh, that is so powerful. Stefan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We can't wait to hear you.
Thank you very much. Well, please listen to what the Philadelphia Orchestra will do in this symphony. I have to pinch myself to believe that I'm conducting such a great ensemble.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.